Welcome to Dysfunctional Podcast. I am Jesus at Dysfunctional of Dysfunctional.com. And today we have a little interview I did with Kat Lacoue, who plays Vixen DeVille on the burlesque stage.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Pleasure to finally talk to you.
Yay. We made it happen.
Yes. first of all, thank you very much for taking time. I know you're quite busy and I'm just... happy to finally get to talk to you.
Absolutely.
So let's start off with, you're a host, you're a performer, you're an actress, a model, a pageant contestant, an instructor. Is there anything you don't do?
I don't juggle.
You don't juggle? Wow, that's amazing.
I juggle life.
You're quite talented, and I'm always thrilled to talk to you. There's always something new you're doing. Is there anything new you would like to talk about now?
You know, I'm actually working with this really great company called What's Content. I'm technically a co-founder, but it's a company that started off in Atlanta, and now they're making a new form of themselves over here. And it's for actors who are wanting to create their own work. So rather than sitting around and auditioning and waiting for someone to create your stuff, it's like you can actually go in, and it's a mixture of, I guess, kind of like a structured improvisation, and each week we work on some stuff, and then you take those ideas, go away, and you start writing your own scenes, which then form into either a TV show idea or a film concept. And it's just a really nice way of having a collaborative group of people to help you develop work. Because, you know, if you as an actor want to sit down and write a film script or write a pilot for a TV show, it's like a very lonely and stressful process. But if you've got a group of people around you who are constantly giving you feedback and support, and you get to try out it, like in bite chunks, was it called bite chunks? Little chunks, bite chunks. There you go. Rather than going, oh god, I have to write this entire 90-page script or whatever. It's like, hey, I've got an idea for a 3-minute scene. Let's just put that up, see what people think. I now have a place to put that up rather than I write a scene that's stuck in my drawer for God knows how long, you know?
Yeah, wow. Well, you seem like you're such a creative person, because I've seen you on stage 3 times at MIFF now, I think, or 4?
No. I've been there 4 years, but I'm not sure if you've... I don't think you were there this year, or there was a year that you missed out on or something. I'm not sure if that's true.
Maybe it was this year.
Yeah, I think this year, yeah.
Yeah, but you're stunning. You're definitely beautiful. You're witty. You have a sort of charm about you, and how do you keep on going year after year with this?
Oh my gosh. I think it's because I do so many different things. And it's like they say that, you know, if you enjoy what you do, it's never really work. Mm-hmm. But if if you're really good at something, I remember my mom being really good at a bunch of different things, and say she used to do dressmaking, and she used to teach dressmaking in schools and stuff. And then I think she made like a bridesmaid dress for somebody. And I'm like, oh my God, you should do this professionally. And she's like, yeah, but if I did it professionally, I would hate it. And I think that thing, like, you can't, I sometimes do go, oh my God, I just overdosed on burlesque, or oh my God, I just overdosed on horror. Or like, you can still, whatever you love doing, if you then are pressured to do it more than just, I feel like doing this thing. Like if I'm asked to do sometimes, oh, you've got to do a Halloween-themed show or a Christmas-themed show, and I don't have an act that I'm wanting to put up for it yet. Having to create on spec is such a pressurized thing, and when you're creative, you want to create when the inspiration comes and the spark of whatever genius comes to you. And so I think because it's like if I'm doing burlesque acts, that's great. And then sometimes I'll get really into the magic side of things, and then it'll be I'll host for a while, and then I'll be like, oh, well, actually I'm teaching for a lot more. And then I haven't acted for a while, so I'll do a bunch of acting, and then like this writing stuff's come up. And so it's nice that I can switch and change between all of them. And if I get blocked with the writing, it's like, oh, well, you know, I can work with some students and inspire them instead. And if I get like, oh God, I've done too much student-y stuff, I'll go, hey, you know, I might create my own act and put that on this week. And I think that's the sort of secret to your keeping going, is that you're not limited to just one area, you know?
Definitely. But when you're on stage, you definitely have an outstanding personality. You're quick on your feet. You walk on glass. You put on put it all out on there on stage, and you do it in a poised, classy nature, regardless of, you know, how much clothes you're wearing.
Right.
What is it about you as a performer that makes you continue to do more, push your talents and further learning your skills, crafts, you know?
What pushes me more? I guess just, I don't like being stagnant. I love getting an act to the point where it's a well-oiled machine. Like I don't really like putting acts up that are new because I feel a bit, oh, it hasn't been tried and tested yet, you know?
Yeah.
And then when it's been up two or three times, I'm like, okay, cool. And I've added to it. And it's like, yeah, okay, this is the act now. And I love performing those ones that I've sort of been tried and tested because I know that they're successful and I can ease into them more because I'm not worried about them succeeding. And also the enjoyment's there. But I think just after a while, again, it's like it becomes work and you lose the enjoyment of it. And so you have to sort of, you don't have to, you sort of go elsewhere. Or I'll just see a costume and think, oh, it'd be so good to do that. Or someone might say to me, like I'm doing the show tonight, this Toil and Trouble, it's a Shakespeare-themed burlesque show. And someone said to me, oh, we're doing the show, we'd love you to be involved. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can do this. I've had this idea of a thing in the back of my head and maybe I can pull that out. And so I think it's a mixture of people will come up and ask me to do stuff. And there's always that fearful little part because I can't do it, or I don't have enough time, or oh, I'm never going to think of something good. And so you doubt yourself because we're all, you know, self-doubting little poor looking to be scared people. And so it's, yeah, a mixture of people kind of coming up to me and asking me to do stuff. And just giving yourself the challenge because, you know, you never have accomplished everything. You know, if you go, I'll be happy once I get this and this and this and this, and you get this and this and this, and then like, what's the next thing, you know? And I always said when I started acting that I would prefer to be the actor that does projects and sees an end to the end of the project and then it'll do another one, rather than being a main character in a soap or a long-running series where that's your job. You're going in every single day and then that's it and you don't really know it. It's like, well, I would get bored doing that same thing and have to jump and change. And I love the fact that it's not that when I do an act or I do a project, okay, that's it, it's over. Especially like if I was doing a theatre run, like when I did Lost the Musical, it was such a sad time when it came to an end. And it was also that thing of, oh, shit, we'll never do this again. But with the burlesque acts, it's like I'll put one on. Like I did a werewolf thing last year. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, cool, that's over. But then this year I was like, oh, I can revive it. And it wasn't like I lose anything or it's not like a sad ending. It's sort of you just do things on rotation when you sort of feel like doing them. And that's just really nice to be able to not have to be doing something over and over and over again till you want to kill yourself. But you're not like, oh, that's the end of it, and I'll never do that again. It's, you know, it's a really nice place to be.
Wow. Well, you definitely have a fantastic talent as a host. You're able to captivate an audience with your wit and your charm. I really like it when you interact with people that, you know, do the cat calls.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But many times your intelligence is kind of, you know, pushed aside because you are very attractive. Does it get to you when you're critiqued for your beauty and not for your intelligence?
I don't think that I've ever read a review or even heard a review that left out one or the other. Mm-hmm. I think also because some people have said, oh, you're so funny, you should do stand-up. And I'm like, well, first of all, I know how much effort it takes to be a good stand-up comic. And a lot of my stuff is very on the cuff and it's improvised. And it's comedy because in the moment, it's like it's an in-joke for everybody because everybody heard the heckle. And then I came back with something funny. So everybody knows the backstory to that joke, if you see what I mean. But I think it works because I am on stage dressed up as this sort of, you know, good-looking person relying on their looks. Mm-hmm. And people don't expect any wit or intelligence. And that's why people mention it or go, oh my God, you're so intelligent. Oh my God, you're so witty, because they didn't expect it. And I think if I came on stage in, like, I don't know, sweatpants or like as myself or whatever, however you want to describe it, I think because I'm dressed up as in this Vixen DeVille powerful, highly sexual character, that I'm allowed to then pull back from that and sort of be self-deprecating and do these like little snappy little snidey remarks to people. I think people notice it more because of the good looking thing. Mm-hmm. And whether that bothers me or not, I think it's a shame that people don't expect me to be. I know that somebody asked their friend to come and see me in the show and said, oh yeah, there's a girl hosting the show, and they mentioned, which I don't really like that much really, they mentioned, she was Miss England for this Queen of the Universe pageant. Mm-hmm. And their idea of who was going to host the show was exactly what I was, like, my worst nightmare. Be, oh my God, a pageant queen is hosting the show. It's going to be so dull and shitty. And then when I came out on stage, like, oh my God, she's amazing. So, I mean, I more hate the idea that people would go, like, I really didn't like it when William Draven would introduce me at Myth, like, oh, she's Miss whatever it was, Miss England, a queen. Like, don't, that's not my credit. Like, God, is that all you're going to say about me? Like, I'm so many other things. And just, like, that was a thing I did almost as an in-joke, just to sort of try it and laugh at the whole system that is pageantry, you know? I don't want people to judge me on that. But I spent so much of, like, I can't deny the side of me that is the good looks and the sexual nature. Mm-hmm. Because that is part of me. And I still have an issue now saying I am good looking, for whatever reason. But I spent so much of my acting career when I was in my sort of like teens, early 20s, of denying the whole interest in burlesque or performing burlesque, because I was like, oh no, I want people to see me as a serious actress, as a real actress. And if I push the burlesque side of things, people aren't going to treat me with respect. And as soon as I chilled the fuck out and accepted that I did those things and brought more of the Vixen DeVille side of things into my real life and into my acting world, it was like, well, that's what you are. Like, you can't, it's like saying you're a blonde person, how do you feel like when people, or you're a tall person, or you're a short person, or you're, like, whatever qualities you are, people are going to mention them. And especially, like, I said to my friend, you know, it's a visual medium, and it's performance art. So it's about the art and the beauty anyway. So if people didn't mention, oh, you're beautiful and gorgeous or whatever else, then I'd hate that too, because I'm supposed to be. I'm kind of aiming for, you know? So if we went, oh, wow, you're so intelligent on stage, I'd be like, what about how beautiful I am? You're really offended. And also there's a side of it that, you know, regardless of good looks, there's like you say, the charming side. I think the way that I perform, although I like that my personality is what people comment on a lot. People don't really say you are beautiful on stage. They say, wow, you're so whatever the personality is on stage. And that's what I like that comes across, because, you know, it changes the person. I know some beautiful people who, if they were a little bit poisonous, they wouldn't look as beautiful when you talk to them or when they smile, or, you know.
Definitely. But you mentioned it. So you have the Vixen DeVille personality. You have Kat. Is there any other personalities in there that you like to touch on once in a while?
I think they all come under the same branch. I mean, I don't know really. I was touching on more of a, I talk when I teach burlesque, I talk about the two spectrums that I play with, just to simplify it right down, because it's more than just the two. But I go on one end of the spectrum, there's this femme fatale character, and everything is a slow tempo rhythm, and it's very powerful and very precise and very in control, and everything's on purpose. Everything's, it's, you know, it's all intended. Whereas the cutesy cheesecake character is much more high tempo and much more, everything's by accident. Things just happen by accident. Oh, my clothes have fell off by accident. Oh, it's a bit more coy. And I was never really, Vixen DeVille was always the femme fatale style. But I think when I host, I kind of tap into that more, cutesy cheesecakey side. And when I used to do a lot of, I was training a bit more in clowning back in the day, when I found my clowning character, that was a much more of a ditzy, didn't know what was going on, just wanted to smile and please everybody. So I don't know if that is a character that's lying around. I don't know. I mean, it's what's content group that I'm working with. They call it side of self rather than character, because everything is a side of yourself. It's not just a character that you're putting on. And so with that, I've been really exploring a lot of different sides of self.
Yeah, that's awesome. I always like seeing you because there's always something different about you, whether it's, you know, you interact more with the audience, or you have Steve the Chair with you, or, you know, just something that always stands out.
I think what's funny is that when I first started out, but my first act was doing this interactive story where I was still Vixen DeVille. I was very much putting on a voice and going really highly into, I am playing a character. And she was doing comedy, funny, witty stuff with the audience. But my solo acts were always very, I said this to my friend the other day, they're like, the silent, mysterious, evil one. And I was always like, the fire was very, I'm silent, I don't speak, I have this serious face on me, and it's dark and evil and sinister. And then the glass walking again was very mysterious and powerful, and I'm not speaking. And then, and yet when people see me doing the hosting, I'm all like, ah, oh, light and happy and fun, and hey, how's it going? Da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like that as my own person as well. But when I do the actual acts themselves and I'm not speaking, I go into a very sort of serious, maleficent, powerful, or like stabbing people, fake blood, sort of, you know, like walking on, like setting people on fire. And I don't know why. And then people are like, oh, I didn't realize you went. So people who know me as a host are all surprised that I'm doing the serious dark stuff. And people who knew me doing the serious dark stuff are always surprised that I'm comedy and fun loving as a host. So it's kind of just, I guess they're the two sides of self of Vixen DeVille, the comedy, funny, goofy one, and then the sort of evil, powerful, whatever one.
Well, that's awesome to hear that you definitely have a different style for everything. So is there any burlesque shows coming up where people can go see you, or that you'll be at?
Well, tonight, obviously, it's the Toil and Trouble Shakespeare-themed burlesque show, which I did once, I think it was back in May we did this. It was the very, very first one we did. So we did it back in May, and we're doing another one here, and it's at the Prospect Theatre. So it's a really nice, it's a new space that's opened up in Hollywood. So hopefully, I don't think this will be a very regular show. I think it'll be quite sort of one-off-ish, so maybe like 4 a year or something. Because it's very specific, it's very, all the acts are very high caliber and lots of development involved in them. So I don't think it's going to be that regular, but that's happening tonight. And then I do Karma Lounge. I host a boudoir burlesque at Karma Lounge once a month on the third. It's the third Thursday of the month. So I don't usually perform an act, but I do host it. And then I perform with Doll-Faced Dames one or two Mondays. They have a show every Monday at Britannia, and I usually host sort of two of the four Mondays. And I host the show and then do an act at the end. Anything else that's coming up that's not a regular show? There's a new show that might be happening downtown, but I'm not really sure about the details for that one. So that's good. And then, I'm doing one for, there's a Working the Teas are doing Pin Up for Vets, and they're doing a charity show for Planned Parenthood for Halloween. So I'm going to be doing an act for them when that comes around.
Cool. I can't wait to go to one of them or multiple. So to top things off, you're also an instructor and help empower people to do burlesque. Yeah. How, you know, when did you come to the point where you wanted to do this, and what inspired you to do it?
I think it was when I was asked to teach an intro class for another burlesque company, and they kind of wanted me to just do teach what they called a basic routine. And I was like, I'm not even a choreographed dancer. Like, I can physically move and dance, but I was never like part of, you know, great at doing group numbers, because I feel more like a solo performer. And I just was sort of panicking that I was going to have to teach this group of people this routine when I can't even do routines myself. And I realized that my intro to the burlesque was a whole different angle, because my background was acting, physical theater, learning about being a solo performer on stage. And so it's kind of like learning to run before you can walk. Yes, you can learn the basics of a routine, and that's fun and whatever, but everybody's a different body shape. Everyone has different abilities. So I hated the idea of teaching a routine and some people going, oh, well, my leg doesn't get on the chair that way, or I can't lean back like that, or I've got this backache or this. Because, well, then what's the point of me teaching a routine that you feel shitty about doing because you, your body as it stands right now can't do it? So I wanted to do something that celebrated each individual person, because my journey has been, not being a very confident person when I was younger and using acting as a way to really find who I was rather than being labeled these, all these other things. And I just wanted to pass that journey on to other people, because people will see me on stage and go, oh, all these positive things. You're good looking, you're charming, you're charismatic, you're this, you're that. And I'm like, I'm so glad that you think that, but it's not like I was born that way. And it's almost that, like, well, you can be too. You know, people go, wow, you can fire eat. It's like, yeah, you can learn to fire eat too. Like, it's, I just want to be that whole, like, I'd rather people, I don't want people to sit in the audience and go, oh my God, look at those amazing people over there. I wish I could be like that, and just think that they can't. And that's what I just want to do, is like that, fulfill that potential that people have who sit there and go, I wish I could be like that. It's like, well, you can be. And so my whole intro is, A, look, because if I teach you a routine, you know, if you've already got issues with being looked at or confidence with people being in a room, then you're never going to perform that routine well. However much you perform it well in your bedroom, you know, getting out on stage and doing it on stage in front of people is a whole other thing. And so working with people with their limitations and their physical bodies and moves that look good on them and costumes that look good on them makes them feel amazing, because, you know, they thought, oh, I can't do the splits, I can't do this routine. Well, that's your routine that you can do. And so that's where it came from, was the fact that I wanted to work with individual people on, you know, them feeling confident with themselves in general life, not even just on a stage, but just finding people who feel trapped in the labels they've been given growing up and the life choices they've made becoming, you know, adults, and feeling this kind of like, oh, well, I've made my choices, I have to stick with them. And it's like, no, you're still able to play, and you're still able to play dress up and explore different sides of yourself and be confident in the body that you have rather than what society has been telling you about, you know, how you should feel about yourself. And yeah, so that's where the inspiration came from. So I was like, well, I'm going to do my own intro class, my own version of intro, which is looking at your own personal issues, deciding what sides of self you want to explore. Because a lot of, for me, burlesque is definitely about the character that you're playing on stage and that you're exposing on stage. It's not exposing your body, you're exposing a character and an attitude. And then having that rapport with the audience and having the confidence to, like you say, talk to the hecklers and respond to them. And you're not just dancing with a smile on your face and looking into the distance. You're actually interacting with a group of people, which makes burlesque so much fun to watch, because you're not just watching a show. Everyone's part of it in a show. The audience, the actors, the performers, the dance, everybody is part of the show. So, yeah.
That's very inspirational and very encouraging. So, yeah, I follow you on social media, and I started seeing a lot more of your transformation burlesque, or what's the hashtag you use?
So I've started doing this because a lot of people would come to class, and I would really encourage them to work towards doing an act to then go on stage. And even some people are like, yep, totally want to do that. Some people would ease into the idea after like 5 weeks. I had one girl come and go, oh, I'm just going to do the intro class. And she's like, well, maybe I'll do 5 weeks. And it's like, I really want to perform, because once you see all the other people in class perform, you're like, oh, I want to do it as well. But some people were still a bit like, I don't know if I really have the guts really want to go on stage in front of people. So this photo shoot idea was more for those sort of people who want to have that sense of playing up. And, you know, when you dress up as a kid, or even Halloween, I mean, Halloween is the month of Halloween right now, and everybody just seems to love it because they get to be somebody else and dress up as something else. And it's like, well, the photo shoot was this opportunity for people to come. And you know, I have so many props and costume and cool shit now. I share with people. And so the photo shoot is the idea that you, if you take classes, if you don't take classes, you can come, you can have access to all my props and costume, you can play dress up for the day, and then we do a photo shoot, but I art direct it. So, you know, I tell you how your body looks and how it looks best from certain angles and whatever else. And then you have this photograph, which is proof to yourself that, look, I am this beautiful human being. And, you know, I've had so much great response for it from guys coming to say, oh, I have this crazy idea of, I want to wear this Jason mask but have red sparkly nipple pasties. Am I weird and strange for wanting that? And I'm like, oh, let's make it happen. Like, I love it when people think that they're weird and strange for wanting to do something, because I'm like, no, I give you permission to be what you consider to might be weird and, or society considers you weird and strange. And people who've never worn a corset put a corset on, they're like, oh my God, this is the best feeling ever. And then I had this woman who she was sort of entering into the senior part of her life and saying that she'd suddenly become invisible. And you know, we did this photo shoot with this red wig and we did this beautiful makeup and stuff. And she's like, oh my God, I'm visible again. And it's just been so amazing. And people just have such fun, like just dressing up and playing. And I forget that, you know, even, well, as an actor, I got to do it a lot. As a fittings model, I got to do it a lot. As a model, you get to go to photo shoots and be dressed up as crazy different things. And it's so much fun and exciting and such a you know, it's such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to do that. And I'm like, people don't get to do that often. And so I feel like that's just such a nice experience for people to do. Like, you can go and get your headshot done, or you can go and get like your family portrait done, but it's a day of dress up and fun play and let's be someone else and let's be who you want to be, you know? And it's not even necessarily burlesque. Like, I had a guy come in and he did this whole like shroudy cloak thing with a lantern and some chains, like this evil sort of horror character. And yeah, it's a really nice sort of shortcut way of working with someone in that way, but not having to put them on stage, you know, if they don't want to fully go the whole hog.
That's awesome. Where do you teach your class?
So I do my intro classes, which are larger scale. They usually sort of 10 to 20 people come to those. That happens up in North Hollywood, a studio called Madeline Clark Studios. And then I have a private studio at my place in Hollywood, and the classes are, I'd like to limit them to 4 people because I really get to know each person on a very individual level. I like to really get into like what's their like inner desires. What do they really want to explore? What do they really want to look at? And then those 4 people become really tight knit friends. And it's a really nice sort of supportive group that people are working in. If you have sort of 6 or more, then it just becomes very anonymous and a bit surface level work. So yeah, so that happens in the studios in Hollywood. And I do classes Monday nights, 7 o'clock till 8:30, and I do classes at Saturdays 2 till 3:30, and then the photo shoots happen at the same place in Hollywood, and they happen usually on Sundays, Sunday daytimes.
That sounds awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. I've now gotten to talk to you about burlesque and acting and being an instructor. So hopefully next time we talk, we could talk more about Kat and who you are personally. Yeah.
All right, thank you so much.
Follow Kat's Facebook pages at Kat Lahui Actress and at Vixen DeVille. Follow her Twitter at Kat Lahui, or follow her on Instagram, Vixen Kat Vixen. Dysfunctional Podcast is on iTunes, so head on over to iTunes and search Dysfunctional, THISFUNKTIONAL. Or check out more stuff here on my Audioboom channel, audioboom.com/channel/dysfunctional. Check out my blog, dysfunctional.com, and follow me on social media at Dysfunctional on Twitter and Instagram, Dysfunctional LA on Facebook, and Dysfunctional on the Good Shows app and Snapchat.